Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio. Flynn Rider is my favorite Disney princess.
Welcome to this week's episode of Movie Maintenance, where some movies just need fixing. This week, Doctor Strange.
What music?
Yes, I was just thinking, I don't know what music you'd pick, because what is the music in Marvel films? Outside of the Avengers theme, which I was just humming before, that's the only thing I remember.
That's a great theme.
Okay. I don't actually know how it goes. I just tried to.
But it's only, like, do you think it's great because in comparison to, like, everything else, there's just nothing?
No, I generally like it a lot. Like, the first time I saw the film, I was just like, sort of like, yeah, this is getting me.
Do we just do Hooked on a Feeling, just because that's the best song that's ever been in a Marvel film?
Or we do,
film?
Like, well, the Doctor, Doctor, Give Me the News.
Or that other one. My friend, the witch doctor, he gave me some advice. He said, that one, that song. I don't know what it's called.
Perfect. All right, well, that's done.
There's that quote that the worst thing than being a one-star film is being a two-star film. Because you walk out and you go, okay, yeah. And then like 4 days later, you're like, I've got a ticket stub in my wallet.
It's because it could have been something, you know what I mean? Like, and yeah. It just.
I was at a party or something the other day and I was talking to people like, I saw Doctor Strange.
Can't you say, I do like that, a party or something. Like, it's either a party or it could have been an orgy or maybe people were dying. It was something. Anyway.
There was more people there than there normally are around me.
Yeah, cool.
I was like, yeah, I didn't really like it. They're like, what? No, it was excellent. With the buildings and the whatnot. I was like,
It was pretty.
The visual effects.
The visual effects were awesome.
Was it Gabe who said came out and said, yeah, it's like looking into a kaleidoscope for like 2 hours, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of that.
Well, not even 2 hours, just under 2 hours. It seems very short. Things happen very abruptly. You don't have enough time. I'm angry about it because like you said and like you
the
both...
The thing about the movie is it's offensively bland.
That's exactly it. Because of the story world that exists in and the character that they're using, it is so offensively bland because it could be something so much better. They could have taken so many risks and done some cool shit with it and they just kind of go... It's almost like they're like, oh, we're due to put another Marvel film out.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah.
And I want you to think, like, so Marvel been doing this for a while. If you take out the last two Captain America films, name the last good film that Marvel's done.
Avengers.
Guardians.
Oh, yeah.
As in the first Avengers.
Yeah,
you don't mean Ultron. I think Guardians is it.
Yeah.
I'll have to stay on record. And I do like Ultron. I'm totally okay with it.
It is a totally okay film, and that's its problem.
It's
like
a
Strange.
Bit, it's a little bit below.
No, it's just, better than Strange.
Strange is a better film than
it is.
No.
Strange isn't like, it's not a shit film. It's just.
Yeah, that's it. It's greatest.
It's like eating.
I was about to call it a wet
bread.
Blanket, but that feels harsh. It's not a warm blanket. It's not a wet blanket. It's a blanket.
It's a warm. Film that it's leaves warm. You with indifference.
It's a thin
and
blanket.
That's the worst possible thing a film can leave you with.
Yeah.
I'm so angry at this film, and I shouldn't be. I shouldn't care enough to be angry because it didn't make me care, and I'm angry that it didn't do that. I can't even, like, articulate my thoughts because...
I think what you're
feeling
is disappointment.
Yeah, you know what? Yes.
Deep this in is your soul.
I'm not even mad. I'm disappointed.
This is how all our dads feel.
We should press on.
Yeah, we should. I'll just dive straight in, will I?
Yes, go for it.
All right, cool. Doctor Strange. All right, we open inside an old...
Do you know, it'd be great if that's how the film started. Instead of music, just Doctor Strange. Oh, we're in. Okay, yep. Do you know what we'd make before you start? Sorry.
Sure, no. Yeah.
Doctor Strange would be better if it was a TV medical procedural, except he solved medical problems using weird cosmic magic and often killed people.
All right, we open inside an old house. It's deserted and long since inhabited. There's like old sheets draped over the furniture. Everything's collecting dust. And a man starts slowly walking through this house. very slowly. His footsteps are creaking along the floorboards. He runs a gentle hand along the walls, the furniture. He's touching everything as he goes. He pauses for a long moment and looks at something, and then we see his face. It's Mads Mikkelsen's Caecilius. Is that how we're going with pronunciation, by the way?
That's what they called him.
Was it Caecilius?
Caecilius, yeah.
How bad's that? We can't even remember the villain's pronunciation.
Pretty sure it was Caecilius.
Tell me the name of fucking Christopher Eccleston's villain in bloody Thor 2.
No idea, mate.
Malekith the Accursed.
Oh, he's got it.
What a stupid fucking name.
And a stupid question that got shut down immediately.
Yeah, I know. All right, I'm back in my box. Continue.
So we see what Caecilius sees, and it's just this huge empty wall. You guys know when there's like when you see a wall that's had picture frames hanging on it,
yep.
And like the paint's not as faded where the frames used to be and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a whole wall of that. Yeah, there would have been maybe like 10 frames there. He looks at them for a long moment, and then we see light, and we're still with him, but he stands near a playground and it's empty. There's nobody there, no children, no sounds of playing, nothing. Then a yellow hooded figure appears behind him. She walks up alongside him and she looks at the playground and says, "You would have spent many good times here, Mr. Caecilius." He takes a moment to respond, but then says, "It's Doctor." And she says, "Well, is it? You haven't practiced medicine in many years, have you?" And then he's kind of a bit pissed off. He doesn't really want to be disrupted. And he's like, "What do you want? Who are you?" And she says, "Oh, I think you know exactly who I am. I'm someone you've been searching for a very long time." He turns to look at her. She pulls back her hood and it's middle-aged and bald. She is the Ancient One. It's played by Tilda Swinton. He says, "I searched so long, I thought you were just a myth." And she said, "Many do. You've been searching so long, wanting answers and reasons and cures for your pain, and you've been alone, Caecilius. Don't you think it's time you healed? Don't you think it's time you weren't alone?" The Ancient One turns on her heel and starts walking away. He watches her leave. He says, "Where are you going?" She turns back and smiles. "To the place you've been trying to find, to Carmitage. Are you joining me?" And she draws a circle in the air and opens up a portal and walks through. And he looks at it for a minute, sort of hesitates, and then he follows her through. And then we get the title on the screen, and boom, we're into the movie.
I like it already. Mm-hmm. You've already set up the reason as why the villain is the protagonist in their own story, Sean.
Oh, Tom, chills. Is Caecilius the villain?
Oh!
Maybe he is, maybe
he
isn't.
He is.
Okay.
That would be a great twist, though, and a very movie maintenance thing to do. Now we've made Mads the hero. Mads is Doctor Strange.
Mads is the good guy.
Mads is always the good guy.
Even when he's not.
Even when I had him as Dracula, he's the hero to me.
It's a little harder to put it through as Colonel Stagg, though.
All right, so title sequence, and then we're in a fancy office. Our viewers of the wall, not unlike the one Caecilius looked at before, but this wall is full of hanging frames, and each of them contains like either a medical degree or a prestigious award or something like that. There's cool, expensive shit everywhere. It's a very nice office. We see the placard on the desk and it reads, "Dr. Stephen Strange." He sits behind the desk. He's cocky. He's arrogant, charismatic, laughing at his own jokes. Though he shouldn't really be laughing at anything right now because sitting opposite him is like a patient who's sort of coming there and begging for him to treat them. You know, because he's one of the best in the world, they need his help and all that. And he's kind of like not really paying attention, flicking through the chart. It doesn't really grab him because just like in the movie, Strange is the kind of person who he needs to take the best cases because it's all about his high profile and all that sort of thing. If it's not going to bring him any glory, he doesn't really want to do it.
Cool.
So he turns this patient away. And then we see him in surgery, like we do in the film, in all his glory. He's confident, smug, talks to the nurses and the doctors about music and all that stuff. Probably belittles the other doctor. He miraculously saves the day, like pulling a bullet out of somebody. And then obviously we pay special attention to how meticulous the work is and how steady his hands are, because that's his most important asset, are his hands.
I did like that thing they do in the film where they make him do it blind because they can't get the screen in, so he's like, "I'll go in and do it blind." And they're like, "No, it's too dangerous." Yeah. And he's like, "I'm very good."
Yeah,
and he
does see how good he is.
Yeah.
The movie paints him as a dick. But it needs to go further. He needs to be a real asshole.
He wasn't nearly dickish.
He was not enough.
Do you know what you could do?
He needs to treat people badly. They didn't have enough of that. It was kind of just, "I'm good at my job," and ha ha ha. But he didn't like. He needs to talk down to people more. Yeah. He needs to be a real asshole.
He needs to be what Tony Stark is before Tony Stark becomes slightly less of an asshole.
Yes.
Holier than thou.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And you could almost have it like a montage of three people that he rejects for various reasons.
Yeah.
And then the last one comes in and he's like,
It's good if he goes through a few of them and he's just a complete asshole to these people who are like probably terminally ill and dying and need his help. And he's just kind of like, "Oh, that's not going to get me in
the,
a published
Doctor
magazine
Strange
or whatever."
Animated movie?
No.
It's on Netflix. I watched it before seeing the actual one. And in that, he rejects like a child.
Oh, okay. Well,
which is a good.
That'll do it.
That'll do it, yeah. Three people. One of them's a child. One's and then he goes off and does his cool surgery.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. That's good. So later he's walking the halls of the hospital and he encounters Claire Temple. Hey. So I'm going to do a switch. Around
10 out of 10. 10 out of 10.
I'm getting rid of Rachel McAdams.
Okay.
We're bringing in Claire Temple.
Yep.
Good.
Now, I should point out, I don't have a whole lot for Claire to do in this movie.
However, she's just your little Marvel bits.
I feel you can get away with... See, the movie does nothing with Rachel McAdams.
Yeah.
Almost nothing. And I feel like if you swap it out and you make it Claire Temple, she's already like works at the hospital. She's already come in contact with other superheroes in the MCU and she's established already.
She's also not going to take Stranger's shit.
Absolutely. Yeah. She's not going to take
it. So already there's a more interesting conflict between the two.
That's but you so still much have better. You still have like they've got like this long friendship. Maybe there was something romantic in the past or whatever. And bear in mind too that Claire Temple's very much Night Nurse.
Yeah.
The character from the comics. That's I'm 100%. Assuming what they're leading towards. So I think you bring in Claire and then you kind of a little more justified in not having that character do as much because she kind of doesn't have to. She's already established in the world.
Yeah.
Whereas if you think of Rachel McAdams, it's basically like Natalie Portman 2.0 in Thor, except kind of because Natalie Portman has a fair bit to do.
Yeah, no, she has an agency.
Rachel McAdams doesn't have a lot to do. And then you also have to ask yourself, moving forward as the franchise, what the hell is she going to do in the second film? Like, what's she going to do?
Yeah. No, I think even if Claire Temple doesn't do a lot, her existence in it fulfills two things. You get that kind of relationship. It's also the tip of the hat that the Marvel Universe is all interconnected.
Yeah. I think it'd be the first time they brought a TV character into the films.
I'd like it.
I really just wish that they had done that. So Strange knows that Claire sent the patients through to him and he's like, I thought I told you to stop sending me your uninsured cast-offs and that sort of thing. They have a little back and forth banter and she sort of, you know, gets stuck into him because she doesn't take his shit. She's like, it's more to helping people than just helping yourself. She probably remarked that she can't believe she was ever attracted to him or something like that. So we get like a bit of a hint that they've got a little bit of something in the past or whatever. Same as in the film, he'll invite her to come see his lecture tonight. Their dynamic is similar to what we see in the film already.
Yep.
It's just with a better character, I think. Next part's much the same. We see his fancy apartment. There's lots of expensive watches spinning around and that cool little thing that we all want to have, right?
Oh, yeah.
One of those. Yeah. He's looking all sexy like a Ben Cumberbatch in the mirror. He's driving his luxury
car.
Stop
calling him Ben. It's upsetting me so much. And don't you dare call him Cumby because that's fucking worse.
Cumby, old Cumbers Wumbers. He's driving his luxury car on the way to he's got some speaking engagement tonight. He's driving the car. It's starting to rain or whatever. He's talking to his assistant. He needs to be a bit more of an asshole here as well. Just build it up a bit more. He's scrolling through. He's texting while he's driving. And then he loses control of the car. And I feel like it should be in a less spectacular crash because fucking hell.
Yeah.
His hands would be the least of his worries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That car went for a fucking, it's crazy.
It needs to be an accident where really he survives, but the only thing that actually gets damaged are his hands.
Yes.
So he gets some superficial injuries, but his hands get crunched in whatever it is.
Actually,
that's the injury.
It shouldn't even be a car accident. It should just be like.
Now, a car accident's fine.
As long as
he regains control of the car. And then as he does that, maybe the airbags pop.
Yeah.
Too soon and like shatter his hands.
Actually, see, something like that's just perfect.
Yeah,
in the film, I can't remember. Does it show him like rehabilitating his knees or his legs or trying to walk?
No,
again?
It's just the hands. So I think less of an epic crash.
I think just send him into a wall and his hands get like sandwiched in front of him.
Yeah.
Airbags go off, pin the arms to his chest, and then he hits the wall and they crush his hands.
Yeah. Whatever it is, it's his own fault for being an idiot.
Perfect.
Wakes up in hospital and his hands are just fucking destroyed. Like, I really liked the imagery in the movie where he had like 30 needles sticking out of his hand and then just see his face. And I kind of want him to push it a bit further. Old Cumby's a good actor, so let's see him crying and stuff in that moment. I would change like the blame game though. Like, I'd have him level it less on like just that one shitty doctor that he's like, you ruined me, and have it be like the whole team that operated on him. And Claire is part of that.
Yeah.
He should be like really bitter at her for like, you know, ruining him. And he's this dickhead who doesn't see that it's literally your own fault.
Yeah.
So we follow the same pattern of the film for a while where Strange is slowly going through rehab. Claire's there like trying to help him out, trying to support him, but he's a bit of a dick to her still. He's slowly getting more feeling back in his hands, but they still shake violently. Despite the fact that he's been a massive arsehole up to this point, we still need to feel like sorry for him. Yeah. Don't really know how you achieve that. I mean, you show him trying to do day-to-day things and just being really shit at it. Like, can't shave himself, you can't do stuff like that.
Most humans are pretty empathetic. So if you see someone that you should pity, you're probably going to pity them.
Maybe the bullet surgery is on a kid.
The bullet surgery?
The cool surgery
at the start.
Yeah. Okay, so he helps this kid out, and yes, he's a dick, but he helped a kid. And maybe the kid comes back and is like, thank you so much. And he's like, and he kind of accepts the praise maybe.
That could be like a moment where like people are coming to see him and like offer their support. And he's kind of like, fuck off, I don't want to deal with anybody. And then maybe the kid comes in.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah.
But even then, I still think it's too early in the film for him to have like those moments.
How does the kid come back and then have him be like, fuck off, kid?
Yeah, something like that. The kid should come in, like, it's drawing him a picture or something. Like, thank you, Dr. Strange. And she's like, fuck off.
Picture
whatever
shit.
The Marvel version of
No, here you go. She comes in and she's like, thank you, Mr. Strange. And he's like, it's Doctor. Get out.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
You know, so he was once one of the best surgeons in the world, and now he's been reduced to nothing and it's killing him. He needs to be the best, but more than that, like, a key to him is, like, he needs people to see and know that he is the best.
Yeah.
That's massively important to him. I'd keep the scenes where he's like petitioning the hospital board to let him do more procedures and stuff. Like they're hesitant, but he still goes through with it. Some of them don't work. I also find it weird that, I don't know the, like in real life how bad the hand thing would be, but I imagine if that kind of injury happened to you, you would never be a surgeon again. Like the fact that he's actually still clinging on to the hope, getting back to what he was, is absurd. He's never going to have a steady hand ever again.
You could even have a moment where Claire's like, you could never be a surgeon again. You can still be a consulting doctor.
Yeah.
That could be it. Maybe they're like, look, we'll agree to these procedures and what we'll do is we'll offer you a consultancy thing. You don't have to do surgery anymore. And he's just like loses it. He's like, no, don't you understand? And maybe that's your empathetic moment where you're like, this is what I do. I'm not a consultant.
Yeah.
I'm a guy who
That's the thing. Yeah, he can still be a doctor. He can still help people, but it's not enough for him because he's not the best at what he does and what he wants to do, and it kills him.
I'm the best at what I do, and what I do is actually very nice.
So he's in rehab. You know, that guy tells him about the wheelchair dude who kept trying and trying and one day just walked again. He's kind of like, he thinks that's bullshit. He's like, oh, find me the file and I'll believe you, blah, blah, blah. In the film, he has like a Skype call with an old colleague where he's saying, oh, I need your help. Because at this point, I think he's had like something like 7 operations. None of them have worked. He's running out of money. He calls his old colleague on Skype. But I wouldn't do it on Skype. I would have it in person and mirror, you know, at the start of the film when we have him meeting patients and knocking them back and being a dick, I would just have that. The shoe's on the other foot and he's getting knocked back and this doctor doesn't want to ruin his reputation and it's not worth it, risk versus reward. And he basically tells Strange it's impossible. You're not going to get better.
Yeah.
So it's like fucking lowest of the low moments for him. And then I'd keep that scene where you'd have Claire come to the apartment and, you know, that interaction they have where it's like, she is like, is this the part where you apologize? And he's like, no, it's the part where you leave. Because that's a nice scene.
That's a really nice scene. Yeah.
So I'd keep that. She angrily drops some bombs at him. You know,
not literally.
Oh, she can.
Just like chucks a grenade out there.
Yeah. Like nothing's ever been your own fault, has it, your entire life. Poor little Steve, and it's all about you. Stuff like that, you know. Always someone else to blame. And she storms out of the room, pretty much storms out of his life. And that's same as in the film, he's cleaning up and he sees the guy from the rehab place has sent him the file of wheelchair dude. He reads that, he goes and visits that guy while he's playing basketball. And then, he gets the idea, hears about Carmitage, and then boom, jets off to Kathmandu. Yep. So it's similar structurally, but like just a few tweaks to that first act of the movie. Yeah.
Just to make him more of a dick.
Make him more of a dick, put the Claire character into it, because I think it's just better than Rachel McAdams. Mainly make him more of an arsehole.
And you're already tapping on the beats that they potentially could do better and just...
Yeah.
Like you said, this isn't like a full re-kit. You're just taking the bits that work and magnifying them and removing the bits that are unnecessary and terrible. Not so, terrible, unnecessary and...
Yeah,
it's like bland. It's some sort of movie maintenance.
Hey.
Oh. So Kumbi arrives in Kathmandu. And this is the part of the film. Yeah, it just looks glorious because it is. And this is the part where I was sitting next to Gay. Because I've been there. And so every...
Have you been to Kathmandu?
Yeah, sure. Kathmandu.
I've been to Kathmandu.
Yeah. Oh, have you really?
So every
Did you climb up some hills or something?
Yeah, I climbed some hills there and whatnot.
Some hills.
Just some low inclines and whatnot. But every time like a image came on the screen, I was like, I was sitting next to Gabe and I was just like tapping him and be like, I've been there, Gabe. And he's like, all right, Carney. But he got me back later because anytime Mads is on screen, Gabe's like, Carney. There's like a bit where
I've been there, Carney.
There's a bit where like Mads starts tearing up and Gabe was just like, it's like a kid at Christmas. He just fucking loves it.
I put it this way, that was happening and I could feel his erection 5 seats away.
Yeah. It was crazy.
He is not that hung.
Well, when it's Mads.
Yeah. When it's Mads, the slug flies.
Yes.
Detaches from his body.
That sound effect. Oh.
All right, so we're in Kathmandu, and we've got bearded Benny seeing the sights, walking around. He's searching the streets. He's asking about Carmitage. He's not having much luck, but we see a mysterious hooded figure is following him. And then same as in the film, he gets jumped by some street toughs. He throws a punch. I wouldn't mind seeing him throw like a couple more and just seeing that he's just a really shit fighter.
Yeah.
On top of the fact
the way
that his
they
fists
did in the film,
are like...
Like as soon as he throws the punch, he's like, oh yeah, my hand.
Punching him. Fight more and just show that not only does his hands not work, but he's a shit fighter to start with.
Yeah, I kind of... I want to see that he's a shit fighter.
His brain's not brawn.
No, absolutely. Yeah. You know, he's shit at fighting and then he's pretty much getting stomped on and that watch of his is getting broken and... Then a hooded mystery man arrives on the scene and kicks a bit of ass. He removes the hood and it's Caecilius. It's not Mordo. Picks up the broken watch on the ground and he hands it back to Strange. And there's this look of recognition, like he remembers him. And Strange is kind of like, I know you from somewhere, Dr. Caecilius. And then he says, I'm not a doctor anymore, Mr. Strange. And then Strange is kind of like, well, I still am. Call me doctor.
I like that.
Show some respect. They're interrupted by Mordo, who arrives. He's been watching sort of what's unfolding. And this is much like the film. He takes Strange to Carmitage. Strange can still crack like his insensitive jokes and all that sort of thing, which puts people offside. But his introduction to the Ancient One is much the same. She teaches him about the mystic arts, and we still get that cool visual effects showreel thing, which presumably looked pretty good in 3D.
Did you see it
in 3D? I don't know anyone
who's
seen it in 3D, but I imagine like it would have been good.
But I didn't care.
It would have been one of the few that would be worth checking out in 3D, probably. So, yeah, that scene between him and the Ancient One's pretty much the same. The only thing I would change is that, like, Strange comes at it with this mentality of, like, he still thinks medicine's going to save him. Yeah. Like, he's in there and he's kind of like, that's New Age tech you're talking about. He goes, is this why you're in a little small place like this? You're trying to hide from the government? Or, you know, it's like, you've had 7 failed operations. You're pretty much broken. You should come to this knowing that the
whatever
you're going to get is going to be basically like sitting around and sniffing smoke and drinking tea and shit like that.
He's exhausted Western medicine, so he's gone Eastern.
Yeah, that's what it's got to be.
He didn't realize he was going that far.
They even, like they mentioned in the film, he's like, I've spent every bit of money that I have left on a one-way flight here, which itself seems a bit, what are you doing, Strange? How did he lose all that money, but he had 7 operations. It probably cost a few minutes.
Yeah.
Yet he's still got the apartment.
Does he?
Maybe he has to sell the apartment. I would like to see, because that's the
problem.
Let's
do a scene where he has to move into a smaller place.
Well, either move into a smaller place or sell it.
I want to see him in a small shithole.
What about if he moves in with Claire? Because her apartment would be terrible.
Yeah, hers would be like a real step
down.
And
he sees it as pity, and then it frustrates him, and then the fight that they have is...
And then he leaves. Then he goes, fucks off to Kathmandu.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Awesome.
All right.
Yeah. They take him in. He's assigned to like train as an apprentice, I guess, with Mordo. We learn that Caecilius is the apprentice of sorts to Master Wong, who's I've still got him as the librarian. Caecilius has been there for a while, so he's got some skills, but we see them training together and we'll have some bonding scenes between Caecilius and Strange.
Boy, oh boy.
So he's shown to his room and we'll see him shoot off a couple emails to Claire, and we can see that there's been a few emails and like she just hasn't answered any. But, you know, that's what you get for being a dick.
Do you still keep that great, the only good Marvel banter moment where he gives him the Wi-Fi password?
Yeah, I think so. If I'm Marvel, though, don't put that in the fucking trailer.
No.
Because I would have had a good laugh at that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have had a good chuckle. I keep the library stuff because I really like the banter with Wong. And I think having Caecilius as his apprentice means he'll be there too and we can have some kind of interactions between them.
Nice character development of the trio. Yep.
So Strange impresses them by having already read through a number of books. They choose some more books. They're going to help like accelerate his progress and get him going a bit quicker. He and Caecilius talk about how they know each other, like in their past. It was only a very brief thing, but it was like, it's just in passing years ago. They were both speaking at like some medical conference or something like that.
Yeah.
Caecilius remembers him being quite drunk and Strange sort of laughs and he recalls everyone going out to party afterwards, but Caecilius didn't join them because he had to get home to his wife or something like that. And Caecilius kind of says nothing to that.
That is exactly Iron Man.
They agree that they both kind of saw each other as arseholes. And they agree to try and see each other in a better light moving forward. So it's nice. There's a little friendship forming.
Yeah.
And Caecilius can teach him like this astral projection thing so that he can read books while he sleeps at night. I think the movie should have just like highlighted that a bit more. That's probably a reason why Strange was getting onto things a bit quicker. And that we can just make him a bit stronger.
Well, you could make it that he's good at the astral projection and the reading, but he can't do like, so when you see him in the training scenes with
Mordo,
he can't use his hands.
But I just, I want them to highlight it a bit more. And that just, so it just makes more sense towards the end of the film when he's quite capable and you're like, well, sped read through a lot of this stuff that probably would have taken years, but he's able to do it while he's asleep and doing other things.
He's also a genius and all that kind of, I imagine he's very good at that side of it. And I think you need to highlight that and show that the weakness he has is, again, because he refuses to believe in his hands.
Would it be too much if Caecilius was turning pages for him?
Ooh. I think like that would be like a nice little scene initially, but then you could have him teach him like, how to do it.
Yeah.
You can be like, how did you pick things up so quickly? And he's like, I can show you, I've got a trick for you.
No, That'd be nice.
Yeah, that would be nice. You could have like Strange trying to read a book and he's like shaking, his hands are shaking, he can't open the page and Caecilius helps him out. That'd be a nice little friendship thing. Cool. Meanwhile, Wong won't let them read some books that they want. They're both really driven men and want knowledge.
Can you say that 10 times fast, please?
Oh, man, Wong is a tricky word. Wong won't let them read books.
Use the actor's last name. That's easy.
Oh, Wong?
Is Wong played by B.D. Wong? Is that his name?
Benedict Wong.
Benedict Wong.
Yeah.
B.D. Wong's another guy.
B.D. Wong's a different Wong.
Yeah. So many Wongs.
So many Wongs.
It's the wrong Wong. I've got the wrong Wong.
But Wong explains that while no knowledge in Kamitage is forbidden, certain practices are. And there's some books from the Ancient One's collection that he refuses to let them read. Caecilius mentions the Dark Dimension, and we hear about its ruler, Dramamu, for the first time. Wong gives them like a quick little spiel on what a bad dude Dormammu is, and that the Dark Dimension's a barren wasteland without hope or doesn't have any time in there or anything like that. But it's too advanced for them to be reading about at the moment. Kicking on, like, we'll go to a training montage. So Strange is working with Mordo, Caecilius and Wong are there. Strange is getting better, sort of, but he's still struggling, like you said, Tom, with the physical stuff. We see the group scene where everyone's starting to do the circle twirl thing to open a portal with one of the sling rings. But Strange can't make it work. His hands are shaking. And the Ancient One comes over and shows him the one-armed dude to say, yes, you can. We see that guy do a perfect, just beautiful thing that he's doing, whatever they're called. It's in his mind. And then it's like, it's the same scene, like he'll drop him on Mount Everest.
Yeah.
And again, I'll be like, oh, I've been there. I really like the scene. Like visually, it's cool.
It's a, like a stereotypical training montage moment. It's like, oh, I'm just trying. You just need to let go. I can't let go. All right, then.
See ya.
And then I'll throw you off a building and then you'll learn to let go. You know, I'm trying to think of like other films that have done it, and I can't right now. But it's a good training.
But it's a very stock standard sort of training thing. I like the thing she says. She says doing like silence your ego and your power will rise, and that's kind of important for him. And then she just sort of gets out of there.
Yeah,
and he's like, holy shit, I'm gonna freeze to death. But then I don't like how the film leaves the scene, and you're back. Like you have that cool bit where Mordo comes up, and he's like, oh, not again. Like that's a funny moment. I like that. But then go back to Strange because this is like a big moment for him. This is the first time that he's like summoning anything or using magic or whatever.
You could just cut between the two where they're it's taking longer than we thought it would, and then he's like trying and trying and trying and
trying. But the movie leaves him and I want to be with him in that moment because I want to see the first time that he actually successfully does it.
Yeah,
I feel it's kind of like a Patronus-style moment where he's freezing to death and he's terrified and there should be like he needs to like clear his mind and just summon like a happy thought. And even if like in that moment he just thinks about Claire.
You know what it should be? Something Claire should say to him earlier.
Yeah.
Should be like, you know, if your ego wasn't in the way, you'd be a much better man or something like that. Yeah. And he's like, if my ego wasn't in the way, I'd be a much better man. Bang!
Perfect.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's great. Fantastic. That's what we need. So, you know, he'd think of Claire and what she said. He'd smile and then he'd summon the portal and come through. Yeah. And all good. He's on the path. So they keep training. You know, he does that. I'll keep that scene that he's got with Mordo where he's like, fight like your life depends on it because one day it might, because that's all good stuff. But then I'd also have Caecilius there training with Wong and use this scene to like both have them asking like some background questions about the Ancient One, which because we still don't know much about it really. So through the answers are pretty vague, but also have Mordo explaining the thing about the mystic objects that they'll, you know, the one of these mystic objects will come to you when your time is ready and that sort of thing. So we need to introduce those as well.
Do you use that Caecilius conversation is a way where you can see that Caecilius is actually really interested in the texts that the Ancient One.
He's very he wants to learn everything. Yeah, and he wants to know about the Ancient One. And they're both like Strange sort of less so.
Yeah, no.
He's more focused on, I want to fix my hands.
Correct. Strange doesn't give a shit about other people.
Wants knowledge
still.
He wants to understand Kamataj and the wider world basically. So when they're fighting, have Caecilius want to try out like a few new things, like maybe he's read some stuff in books that he shouldn't have had or whatever, and Wong sort of has to slap him down a bit because he's like, you shouldn't know this stuff, just you know, trust your master, you know, better men than you have gone down a bad path and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I'd have like, I wouldn't have him beat Wong, but I'd have him like match him. Like he's getting quite strong.
Yeah.
And probably be good if you start to see that Strange is like getting a little bit better as well. Like he's obviously no match for Mordo yet, but have him like actually starting to be able to fight and be good.
It can do like that great thing, you know, where like they'll almost beat them and flip them over and you just sort of see maybe Mordo's like, oh, I'm a bit. He actually, that kind of got me.
Yeah. Hmm. No, but see, I would do that with Strange.
Yeah.
But I'd have Caecilius like very much probably matching Wong.
Oh, yeah,
like,
no, that's what
that
I mean.
Point
when
where
I said
he can do some like serious harm.
Wong has to like really crank up what he's doing.
Oh, yeah. Wong has to like actually start trying for once.
And,
and
eventually they can fight to a draw in front of all the other samurai.
I've got a samurai reference later.
Good. Yes.
Good boy. Let's get to it.
Skip the rest of the film and just get to the samurai reference.
Oh, I will. So it's late at night. Strange is asleep, but he's woken by Caecilius. He tells him to follow him. It's dark, it's quiet, and there's no one around. They sneak into the library. There's no sign of Wong, so the coast is clear. Strange is kind of freaking out about getting in trouble, but Caecilius is very laid back. He's chewing on an apple. He puts the apple down on the table and he goes over to the Eye of Agmoto. Is that what it's called?
Is that that's Agmoto? The time thing, yeah?
Yeah, that's like the thing that the sorcerer Supreme's supposed to wear or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Goes over to that and he takes it and puts it on. Strange is kind of like, well, fuck, man, are you crazy? Like, we're going to get in trouble for this. But Caecilius is like, no, it's cool. It's fine. He takes a book from the Ancient One's collection, like one of the ones that maybe Wong said, don't touch those earlier. And Strange is like, this is getting out of control. But he's going along with it. He falls silent and Caecilius starts bending time. So the apple on the table, it's the thing that Strange does in the movie, but we're going to have Caecilius do it.
Yeah. Like it.
He's moving his hand back and forth and the apple's going from eaten to full and back again. And he explains it all to Strange. And he starts to like go into his backstory a little bit because Strange is kind of like, what's going on, man? Like, what's the deal? And he's like, that night you saw me at the conference when I had to get back to my wife when I left the party early. She was dying. She died 4 weeks after that. So every night I come in here when everyone goes to sleep, I come into the library, I take the eye and I go back. I go back and I see my wife before the end. And Strange is kind of like, it's that powerful? You can go back years?
I just got a bit of goosebumps, man.
You can go back years, he asks. And then Chrysalis says, you change the natural law if you stay, but she's my wife. And he's like, why don't you stay? And he says, because I can use this. I can bend time and I can fold it back over itself, but I can't change a disease. See, she had cancer. It doesn't matter how far back I go or how far I stretch time. I can't beat cancer. I can't beat the disease.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It happens the same way at the exact same moment every single time. I can't win. So I just sit there. I sit there and I hold her hand and I talk to her and I tell her everything's going to be okay when I know it isn't. They're interrupted.
Mads doing all that. And not looking
because, guys, Cumberbatch, let's just give Mads something to do, right?
Fuck. Like, the best part of the film he gets is when he's crying.
Yeah.
Talking about his wife.
Yep.
In that stupid fucking prison
gadget.
Hannibal gadget.
Yeah.
People go in expecting...
It's like a stop-motion gadget.
Yeah.
It was really quite kitsch.
Yeah.
People go into this movie expecting to get like Casino Royale Mads and instead you give them the Hunt Mads.
Mm.
But not even Good Hunt Mads.
So they're interrupted, guys, by this.
Like a weaker Hunt Mads. Like a weak... A lesser Hunt Mads.
They're interrupted, as I was, by the very pissed...
Yeah, right.
By the very pissed off Mordo and Wong. Mordo says, we do not tamper with natural law. We protect it. And Strange says, well, when are you going to stop telling us what we don't do and start telling us what we do? They both get dragged before the Ancient One, and she's pretty fucking pissed. Threatens to kick them both out of Carmitage for their actions. So Strange is all like the scolded schoolboy here. He's hoping not to get kicked out of school, basically. But Caecilius fights back, and he starts dropping bombs. Again, not real bombs.
Just truth.
Yeah, not literal ones, sorry. Truth bombs. He tells them that he has discovered the source of the Ancient One's power and long life. He says she has dipped into the dark dimension for power and thus become corrupted by darkness. Mordo's pretty angry. He's like, he demands that Caecilius apologize. How dare you? All that stuff. But the Ancient One hasn't said anything. She just kind of stands there and just watches all this unfold. Caecilius turns to her and he says, it took me a very long time to peel back the layers, to peel back time, to find your truth. When you first found me, you said you were once like me. You had once lost just like me. I thought it was just some offhand remark to make me come along. But it was the truth. You did lose something. You once loved someone with everything you had, but they were sick and they died and you slipped into despair. And just as I did, you searched the world for a remedy, for a reason, for a hope, and you found nothing. And then you did something that others can't. You used the eye and you cut a hole in the dark dimension and you went in. You searched endlessly for something, anything that would heal your pain. And then you found something that you did not intend. You found a cure. A cure for every illness, every disease that has ever existed. And then you bent time and you used the cure and you saved your lover. And they're all stunned. And Mordo turns to her and asks, is this true? And she doesn't say anything. Caecilius says, what's true is that after that, she hid her lover away where none would ever find. And then she did nothing. Did nothing with the cure. She sat on it and watched on as millions died. Billions died. They asked for answers and she stood there as silent as she is now. The Ancient One then speaks. She argues that to save everyone would overpopulate the world and that it's unnatural and stuff like that. That time must be allowed to play out. And Caecilius.
Yeah, is it sort of like I didn't realise that that's what I had to do until I did it and went, oh, fuck, I made a terrible mistake?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, she's not like this pure good person. She's just like, she very much made a selfish choice. She said, I'm going to save the person I love and then I have this power to fix the world.
But I won't.
But I won't do it. I won't. So Caecilius is getting pretty angry now, and he says to her, time is an insult. You're an insult to the people who have followed you, to the people who believed yours was the higher path. The Sorceress Supreme is supposed to defend existence. You seek to control it and use it only for yourself. The Ancient One looks at him and says, do you really think saving your wife will heal the world, Caecilius? And he goes silent for a moment, and he says, it wasn't just my wife. She died when she was 7 months pregnant. It was my wife and the two girls we would have. And then we see a flash, and we're with him in the room with his sick wife. She lays on a bed, and we see his hand on her pregnant stomach. Then we're with him in the room that had the empty wall, only this time it's full of photographs with him and his wife and his two beautiful daughters. Then we're with him at the playground as they race around climbing and jumping and swinging and having fun. His future was stolen, and the Ancient One holds the key to getting it back. He turns to Strange, his friend, and pleads for him to join him.
Oh.
He just wants his family back, but that cure, it can cure anything, and it can cure his hands. He'll be the doctor that he always was. He can have it all back. The Ancient One shouts over the top and asks if he really wants to be that man again when he's come so far. But Caecilius shouts over. He tells Strange that he can take the glory. He can take the cure and he can be the doctor that cured every single disease that has ever been. Oh he can God. Be the hero. Oh,
good.
Strange is conflicted as fuck and he doesn't know what to do. He's so he's just overwhelmed. Then Caecilius throws the first punch and he starts fighting the Ancient One. He's good, but obviously she's way better. She's way more powerful. But what we see is she's pretty passive here. She's not really trying to hurt him. So she's mainly like blocking his blows. And that makes the fight more competitive because she's...
Does she do that kind of fighting style where like she kind
she's
of
just doing a lot of blocks just moves and just yeah, ducking and weaving. Yeah. She's not really trying to hurt him. It's just sort of about... We should probably get the eye back off him so he can't do anything bad with it. And yeah. We just need to cut... She's trying to be peaceful and cool the situation, whereas he's trying to kill her essentially.
Yeah.
I think at this point, Caecilius probably has like some nameless recruits with him, like sorcerers from Carmitage who have like joined him because they believe in his cause or some bullshit.
Yeah.
Just so we fill the fights out a bit more of anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I mean, you can build those guys up a bit if you want.
Which they do, literally just have people from...
Yeah, like those people aren't characters.
Well, no, one of them is literally credited as brunette follower of...
Yeah.
Whatever fucking I was called him.
And she was terrific.
She was terrific. She's the one who ends up in the desert, right?
They're basically just shitty minions who can fill out the fight. So Mordo and Wong, they're dealing with him too. And Strange is trying to talk to Caecilius. He's trying to talk him down peacefully and say, there's another way, we can figure this out. He's fighting his way through minions. So Strange is doing a little bit of fighting, but he's not like overly engaged in it or anything.
Yeah.
The Ancient One's trying to get the eye back off Caecilius, but after realizing that he's not going to beat her, he opens a portal and leaves. And he tells Strange before he does, come find me. Like, we can still help each other out. I hope you'll choose the right path.
On having minions to fight, rather than bringing in nameless people that like have worked with Caecilius, could he just not like astrally project like 20 versions of himself that are slightly less powerful?
Sure, like I mean that's a possibility, right? They can do that.
I reckon. Well, yeah. Why not? That'd
be cool. That'd be something that'd be read in one of the Ancient Ones' private books. Perfect.
So and they're actually physical. So yeah, they'd be cool. Land punches.
And then like he himself, his physical form is fighting the Ancient One, and he can have like five guys fighting Mordo, five fighting Wong, and they're not a match, but they're a distraction and they get in the way. And then like he can have a few of them swarm Strange.
Yeah.
While he's fighting, he can still keep pleading his case.
Stephen, you
got to join.
That's good.
That's great. And they're all just surrounding him. Stephen, like, oh fuck. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Can he actually do that?
All right. So now Mordo is angry at the Ancient One and demands answers because like he's followed her for ages. He's like her right hand man, essentially. I guess.
Yep.
She confirms that what Caecilius said was true. She sort of tries to play it off as all good, but Mordo and Wong are like, whoa, girl, that's fucked. One of the things in those words too. One of the things about the dark dimension is that if you're in there, there's a cost. If you take something, it will always extract something of its own. This is where Mordo can be all like, you know, he can do like, you know, his thing that he always says, like the bill comes due always.
Yeah.
And basically, while she gained long-lasting life and found the cure, she opened herself up to the dark dimension. It doesn't control her, but in doing so, she like left the hole open to Earth. So the guy who runs the dark dimension, Dormammu, he's still got that connection to Earth, and it's because of her. She should never have opened it. But because of her, there's this threat that lingers over them. Dormammu still has like this slight hold on Earth. It's not good. Caecilius doesn't seem to know that if he uses the dark dimension to save his wife, well, there's going to be a cost to everybody and it's bad news. So now we're in a place, this is not from the film, we're in a place we haven't seen before. It's this beautiful home that has all the nicest things you could imagine. There's some ancient artifacts maybe behind some glass windows and that sort of stuff. You might see a cape. As we move through it, we end up in this room that has about 10 or 12 massive windows. Each window looks out into a completely different location. So one's the Sahara Desert, an ocean, an African plain, ice-capped mountains, all sorts of stuff. We come to a halt. So the camera sort of freezes on one of those frames. It's a desert. And this little speck becomes visible. And slowly it gets closer and closer and closer. It's a hooded man, and he walks closer until he's right outside the window. He moves his hands around, performs like some sort of incantation, and then the glass shatters and he steps through. He enters the house, removes his hood, and it's Caecilius. Then he attacks the man. There's a man living in this house. He grabs him, and it's this man is the Ancient One's like husband, or, you know, that sort of character.
The lover
man that she loves, that she saved, but people wouldn't understand, so she basically hid him away in like a different part of reality.
Yeah, whatever.
In this beautiful home that she would go and visit. Caecilius demands to know about the cure. He wants to ask this guy, how does it work? Where can I get it? That sort of thing. Cut back to Carmitage, and the Ancient One wants to know, she's talking to Strange, like, how did Caecilius learn so much? And Strange sort of like, well, I mean, he's read a lot of these books that he stole from you. And she suddenly realizes what's happening. She looks over at the books and knows that there's probably information in there. Like, if he looked deep enough, he would have been able to figure everything out. That's how he's done it.
Yeah.
And he's potentially figured out how she created a place to keep somebody.
Yeah.
So she just, in the middle of a conversation, she's like, opens the portal and gone. And they're like, what the fuck? I'm like, all right, we better follow her. So they all go after her. Now we see the Ancient One. She's kind of lost that mask of calmness that she's had for the whole movie. She's looking terrified as Caecilius holds the love of her life in his hands. He says that the man told him, let's just call him like Andrew. Andrew told him. I need a name for him.
He needs a better name than Andrew.
What do you got?
Just because you imagine it's like, or I'm Andy. The Ancient One and this is my lover.
Andrew.
Sometimes known as Andy.
And he's holding like wine and cheese and he's like, we're having a party.
Hi, guys.
Honey, I've got the charrette. Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Sweetheart, you never bring friends from work.
There's a situation here.
It's Taika Waititi. I've got the charrette. Oh, okay. There's people here. Fuck. No, I don't know what his name is.
Caecilius says that Andrew.
It can't be Andrew. Just call him Mr. Ancient One. Mr.
Oh man.
Fucking hell. It's gotta be something mysticky, like
Quintus.
Ah.
Quintus. Sold. Done.
Caecilius says that Quintus told him that the cure is in the dark dimension. And Strange tries to talk him down and says that that dimension's unstable and dangerous and comes at a great cost. But Caecilius smiles. It's too late. I've already been there. I went there before you came. And he says that Dormammu gave him something else, gave him the power to destroy the Ancient One. So he's kind of given him beefed up, like he's gone Super Saiyan, basically. Dormammu wants Caecilius to become the Sorcerer Supreme, sort of keep the connection to the world open and help him out.
Yeah.
And in return, he's going to, you know, bring his wife and kids back, essentially. And like that, Caecilius snaps Quintus' neck in half and he crumples to the ground. The Ancient One screams in agony and she falls to her knees and holds him in her arms as the life's just gone from him. He's dead. He is gone. And then she rises to her feet and she's ready to fight. And this is different than before when she was like almost bored when she was fighting him. This time all her heart's in it and it's fucking terrifying. She's like, I don't know how old she is, but she's crazy. She's powerful. He's got boosted up powers too. So it's like this crazy fight. It's destructive. It's like there's just shit flying everywhere. And nobody is safe at all. Wong and Mordo and even Strange join the fight because they're just trying to like, we need to like stop this and calm both of them down or like somehow resolve this. It's fucked. And there's a little bit of banter and Strange asks Caecilius, what did you give up in return for the cure and the power? Like what did the dark dimension sort of ask of you? And he basically tells them that this world will now belong to Dormammu. And they're like, what the fuck? How could you do that? But he's kind of like, his thing is simple. You got to realize that for Caecilius, he literally doesn't care about anything other than his family. He would literally do anything, hurt anyone, kill anyone if it gets his family back. So he doesn't care about the world because his family is his entire world. And so that's why in his eyes, he's still the hero. He's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Like he's very much the hero in his own story at the moment. Like he doesn't give a shit. He'll kill anybody.
He's going full Anakin, but in a good way.
Yeah. His intentions are noble.
Yeah.
Even if his actions are fucked.
Yeah.
So Wong tries to take him down, but gets massively fucked up. Like, and also remember to probably need to like get into this a bit more, but Wong is his master.
Yeah.
Who's been teaching him. And this is like a betrayal and he just fucking destroys Wong. It's like this energy explosion that knocks everyone back and Strange ends up like knocked to the ground. He's in front of this case that has a cape in it or something like that.
It's a second mention of the cape. Surely that won't come. That won't be relevant at all.
Caecilius and the fight. Ancient One, they're still duking it out, throwing all sorts of shit at each other. Caecilius redirects like her energy and he aims it at Wong, who's like, Wong's trying to like stagger to his feet, but he's bleeding pretty bad and he's pretty fucked up. Like, this thing's going to wipe him out, this energy burst. But then the cape breaks free of the glass and it wraps itself around Strange, because he's like looking on helplessly and he's like, what can I do? And the cape sort of gets him and then drags him along, moves him across the room, and it tackles Wong to the ground. So that's kind of the moment I have for when he gets the cape. It's not as good as I think the one in the movie, but it's sort of, I got through this and I was kind of like, oh, I didn't do the cape. I just chucked it in.
Yeah, no, I think it's fine. I think if you just have it so he stayed behind the glass and the cape's just like banging.
Yeah, maybe
the
cape's like trying to get out.
What the fuck?
And Wong's in mortal danger and then the cape, like maybe some shrapnel breaks the glass and then the cape wraps around him and then it drags him across the room and like knocks Wong out of the way.
Or you could have both Strange and Wong sort of wounded together.
Yeah.
And Caecilius in his rage doesn't realize Strange is there, so he throws that killing.
And then the cape just locks it
and
mortal.
The cape blocks it.
Yeah, just something like that.
Yeah.
Like it's pretty simple, but you know, it comes to you at, you know, when you're ready and at the moment of need and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So there you go. Caecilius strides forward at this point and he kicks Wong through one of those portals, like gets rid of him. He turns to Strange and he says he's sorry and then he kicks him through. So him and Wong gone and then he locks the door and it just disappears. So they're like stuck in the middle of nowhere. And Wong's bleeding out. And then at this point, Strange opens a portal and he takes Wong to a hospital in New York where he finds Claire. We'll bring her back into the story.
Nice.
And then together they try and save Wong. And this is sort of like a moment of realization, I guess, for Strange, because he's assisting Claire with the surgery. She's running the show and he can't really, his hands are shaky, he's fucked, he can basically just pass her things and help her out.
Yep.
And like give her annoying, you know, tips and whatnot, but she's there to help him. And while they're like fixing Wong, you can get a bit of like them having some banter of, oh, where have you been? I've been worrying and blah, blah, blah. Oh, you never replied to my emails, that sort of thing.
You've done something well in bringing Claire into it as well. Because one of the most frustrating things about Rachel McAdams' character is she just totally accepts that magic is a thing that exists.
Yeah,
she doesn't. Yes, there's a crisis, but she just accepts it too freely. Whereas someone like Claire, who's been exposed to superpowered people before,
she
would be
can
like,
buy it much easier. Yeah, and it doesn't fuck like the flow of the story. You can just kind of like, yep, all right, we'll move on.
It could be a nice little bit of comedy as well. It's like, you're not surprised by this. It's like, yeah, this happens to me all the fucking time.
Yeah. I thought you were the only person in New York that I knew who didn't have superpowers. Guess I was wrong. This is great.
This is the third hospital in 2 years.
Yeah.
She's just like, where do I keep meeting these guys? So Strange, they sort of like stabilize Wong and Strange leaves Wong with her, opens a portal and he jumps back in, sort of rejoining the fight. So now it's Caecilius versus the Ancient One and then Mordo and Strange are there as well. And then the fight can move around through different locations and stuff. We don't just stay in that room anymore. We'll move around a bit.
And they start doing that mirror dimension.
Yeah,
the
mirror stuff
reality,
and all the...
Which is really cool.
Inception
the
style,
cities.
Bending and stuff. It's all very visual and cool.
Yeah.
And it ends very much the same way, with Caecilius wounding the Ancient One and then she falls off a building as Mordo and Strange like chase and try and catch her, but she smashes into the ground, which I thought was a pretty cool scene in the movie. She didn't really get fucked up enough for the height that she fell from. But
no.
Maybe because she's powerful. I don't know.
Maybe because she's ancient.
Maybe they needed the scene where she's in the hospital. I don't know. But anyway, they take her to the hospital. They take her to Claire, who's managed to stabilize Wong. He's kind of okay, but he's pretty weak. But, you know, he's going to get on with it because he's a champion.
Yep.
They operate on the Ancient One, but she's going to die, so there's nothing they can do. And then just like in the movie, the astral form sort of escapes and goes out onto the balcony and Strange follows her and they can have their talk.
That's actually a really nice moment in that
film. I really like
the
scene. It's
one
of the best
moments. Lightning and...
Yeah, it's really nice.
Just beautiful.
Strange can kind of attack her about sitting on the cure for diseases and all that sort of thing. But she, you know, she argues for overpopulation and straining resources and all that sort of thing. So her argument's not without merit, you know. And also she says sometimes people need to figure out their way through life using natural means. Like life has to find its own way. They can't just solve everything with magic. That's the responsibility.
Did you just steal a quote from Jurassic Park and put it in Doctor Strange?
Sure, why not? Strange sort of argues back. Like he's asking, oh, do you think MRI machines, you know, are a natural thing? But her point is that you can't rush hundreds of years of development just to get to the end.
Yeah.
It's like a responsibility that comes with the powers they have. She spent so many, like, I really like her stuff about how she spent so many years peering through time, preventing countless terrible futures, and it all boils down to this moment that she could never see past, like when the lightning's coming down and stuff. It's a nice scene in the movie.
Yeah.
She tells Strange, I never saw your future, only your possibilities. And then she hits him with the truth bomb that he's really always needed to hear, and that's, it's not about you. You have a choice to return to your own life or move forward to some greater purpose. She says that Caecilius wants to conquer death, but death is the thing that gives life meaning. And then she's gone. She's dead.
It's a really nice line.
Yeah.
Yep.
So she's dead. The sorcerers, they're all in disarray. Wong's pretty messed up. Mordo's like bitter as fuck right now. His mentor's dead and she let him down terribly. They're all pretty, like they're a fractured team. There's no real teamwork left at all. Then Strange, she sort of drags them all in. He gives them the superhero pep talk about the greater good and all that stuff. And Caecilius has claimed the eye now. So he's opening up the dark dimension to seal his deal with Germano and get his family back. And things are getting fucked. Strange is telling his crew, we need to band together. Caecilius has gone mad and doesn't care about human life anymore.
I just worked out who to play Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Who?
Kyle Chandler.
Oh, come on.
You just want a coach moment, don't you?
He comes in, everybody take a knee.
Wong's like, I'm in bed.
So the plan, like, they have to get to Caecilius, they have to take back the eye and hope that it's not too late to close the portal. Because that the eye of Agmoto helps them, like, it can help you open the portal. Presumably it can help them close it if it's not too late. It'd be nice to just have like a scene with Strange and Claire just prior to the big battle where they, you know, they have like a nice goodbye thing, just like put a bow on their relationship arc for the story or whatever.
Something where he could actually apologize for being an arsehole.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So it's got to be something that kind of highlights the change that he's undergone. Now he seems to care about others, not just himself or his career. It might be nice just to have like a throwaway line.
Now, here you go.
Yeah.
As they're leaving, he turns around and she's like, you know, this is where you go out and you're going to save the day, I suppose. And she goes, oh, no, this is the part where I say I'm sorry. And then he goes,
oh, Tom, hell yeah. Shit, that's good.
Yeah. How's your heart?
I was going to end on a bad Marvel joke. Like, she's like, oh, you know, if you need some help out there, I know some people. And then they look out the window and it's just like the portal and destruction. And she's like, oh, never mind. But yeah, that's good. Oh, that's beautiful, Tom.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so we'll do that. That was in the story. Perfect. So Strange leaves her and rejoins the boys, Mordo and Wong. There's a few other sorcerer stragglers here, some faceless guys or whatever. Or maybe they do your thing and they just like summon like 20 versions.
No, I reckon they would get the other sorcerers.
There does need to be some other sorcerers.
I think they would be like, look, our way of life's in danger.
Yes,
they could even talk about those safe houses that they have and get them to come and help them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Cool.
So Caecilius is there and he's there to make sure the portal opens without interference and that he gets what he wants in his deal. So Strange sends Mordo, Wong, and the other sorcerers to sort of see what they can do with the portal and try and subdue Dormammu while he stands sort of toe-to-toe and fights Caecilius. So this movie has a lot of Inception-style fight scenes, which I think are really cool and part of like the appeal of the movie. Like, the visuals are great. They've got all their cool powers and all that stuff. But what I find a lot of superhero movies do is they fall in that trap of saying, hey, we've given you a whole movie of cool fights. Here's like just one more on the end. That's basically the same sort of fighting style and all that sort of thing.
Yep.
So I kind of want to go on a little bit of a different path. Caecilius, he's got his beefed up sort of Super Saiyan powers from the Dark Dimension, but he knows that Strange has learned fast and is like a more natural sorcerer than him, which makes him sort of a dangerous threat, deadly opponent. And Strange, you know, he's quietly confident. He thinks he can take him on. So Caecilius pulls one of these things in the comic, this ancient relic. He pulls it out. It's like an hourglass, like this really old one. He pulls it from his cloak and he smiles and he explains it to Strange. And basically what this thing does, when he turns it over and the sand starts spilling down, it goes for 3 minutes. And within that 3 minutes, no magic. Neither of them can use any spell.
I would drop that earlier.
Hint at the hourglass?
Yeah.
The hourglass thing. Use that during the training.
You can have him get it. Like, I figure, in the same way Strange has his cape, Caecilius's relic is probably the hourglass.
What if during a fight with Mordo, that bit where he's like, you need to fight like your life depends on it, he's using magic and he's doing really well, and then Mordo goes, bang, no magic. And he tries to do it. He's like, no magic for 3 minutes, and just starts kicking the shit out of him with a stick.
Yeah, I'd put it.
And maybe Caecilius steals that.
I actually don't know if I would show it. I would, because you build up to this and you expect, oh, we're going to get a fucking cool magic fight. And then it's like, oh, no magic. But if you've seen that already in the film, you go.
Yeah, but if you just bring out a random MacGuffin we've never seen before, it's going to feel tacked on.
You've got to mention it at some point, I think. Whether they use it or not, or it's just like, yep, this subject does this.
I don't want to have seen it before, but I don't mind them learning. Like, I don't mind Caecilius knowing about it through the books that he's read. And he can mention it to Strange in passing or something earlier in the film.
Yeah, either whether it's a list of objects or something, but I think it needs to be lampshaded at least once.
Okay, yeah, cool. I'm with you.
We, the audience, have to know about it as well.
No, I get you, because if you just pull it out, it's like, come on, you can just do anything now?
You've got to do it in a J.K. Rowling way. Mm. So like Fantastic Beasts, that whole bit where he talks really early on about, oh, I think Venom will be good for getting rid of bad memories, and you just move on and you actually forget that
that's
was mentioned.
I would not show it at the start. I would have Caecilius learn about it in a book and talk about it to some of the characters.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Whatever,
like, it's a throwaway little line,
throwaway
and then it comes
he
back.
Knows. Yeah, yeah, it should be something that's completely surprised. Strange should see that and be like, holy shit. So, you know, Strange is kind of defiant. He's kind of like, that's not going to save you. I can still take you on. Puts his fists up. But then he looks at his hands and he remembers, oh, my hands are fucked. Like, and I'm a shit fighter.
So how he just forgets that his hands are fucked.
So no more superpowers, no spells or tricks. It's just bare-knuckle fists. And Caecilius is a big, imposing dude. Like, Mads is pretty big. And he's got properly functioning hands. And so he belts the shit out of Strange. Like, kicks the shit out of him. While above them, we see the sorcerers dealing as best they can, trying to, like, close the portal or whatever and stop the damage that's happening. So Strange is taking an absolute beat down, but he's determined, he's persistent, and he has something. He's got something to fight for, finally. You know what I mean? He's changed a lot, and he's really fighting for something, and he keeps getting up again and again, like Captain Algren in Last Samurai.
Good.
When Ujio, out in the rain, keeps smashing him in the face, he keeps getting up.
Yep.
And that's nice. But then something happens that Caecilius did not intend. Strange asks for help. This guy's never been seen as weak as at anything in his whole life. He asks for help. And Wong and Mordo, his friend, they come down to help him. And together you've got these four dudes who can't use their magic, and they're just punching on. They distract Caecilius for long enough that the sand runs out, time runs out, and he's been defeated. Like, once there's three of them, they manage to subdue him now with their magic. But that portal's still wide open. So they've beaten Caecilius, but it's come at like a pretty mighty cost. And Strange, he takes the eye of Egmoto from Caecilius. But even using that, he's trying as hard as he can, but he can't close the portal. Things are looking pretty bad. Then he turns to his friends and he asks them, he needs them to trust him. He flies up into the dark dimension and he faces Dumamu, which is pretty much in the same way that he does in the film.
I was about to say, when you were talking before about how Marvel did that thing where they build just to a last final fight, having him do that great little time bit over and over again was a really nice juxtaposition of... Yeah. Like a different of a kind of fight,
yes.
Of a finale. Like it was so well done and very, very Doctor Strange in that I'm not going to fight you with my fists. I'm going to fight you by putting you in a time loop.
Absolutely.
And it's the weird kind of, it's what it needed to have. You know?
Yeah. So like he introduces time to a dimension that previously didn't have it. And, that confuses Dumamu and he just lashes out and kills him again and again. I almost want to go further. Like I think the thing that Dumamu's character could have done was like, well, I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to slowly torture you. But you don't really have time to do that in a film.
Nah.
But ideally, that's what you do.
I think in the world, actually.
I think he just gets angry.
Well, yeah.
Like, I think the fact is he doesn't even think of that.
He should be confused
just like,
to be like, what is this? And
he doesn't know what time is.
Killing
yeah,
him
yeah.
And he's like, this isn't going to work. Holy shit. So then Dumamu bargains. He's got this sly little plan. He offers Strange what he wants or what he thinks he wants. And then Strange looks at his hands and they're fixed. They're 100% better. They're back to normal. They don't shake. They're perfect. It's something that he strived for this entire time and he's got it all back. And Dumamu only asks, the only thing he's asking for is to keep the connection to Earth open, the one that he had with the Ancient One. So Strange has to decide.
Yeah, it's not even I'll come in and eat the world.
Yeah, I'm not going to destroy it. I promise I'm not going to hurt people. I just want it open.
So that I can come here if I need to.
Yeah.
Just keep the door open. I like listening to the radio.
Keep the door open.
Yeah. The hole.
100%.
I like to watch. What? Nothing.
So Strange has to decide. He's looking down his hands and for the first time for pretty much the whole film, they're not shaking. They're just perfect. But he says no.
Yeah.
He puts a hand to the Eye of Egmoto that he's wearing on his chest and he tells Dumamu, and he says that it is the job of the Sorcerer Supreme to defend existence.
Yes!
Not to put it at risk by dealing with devils.
Oh.
Strange watches his perfect hands fade back to just being fucking mangled and shaky. And Dumamu tells him that he will suffer forever. But Strange reminds him that the time loop will never end and he's in no hurry. He says, I don't have to win. I can lose again and again and again. I've got nothing but time. Do you? And Dumamu just cracks the shits and begs him, please. Close the loop. I'll leave you alone.
Dumamu chucks a tent.
Yeah, he's like, give me. He's like, get me out of here. Strange cuts the same deal he did in the movie, and the portal will close and Dumamu will, piss off and leave, and that's, case closed. So Strange, sacrifice. He had everything that he sort of wanted, but...
It's the beat that's missing in the original film.
Yeah.
Is there's no
what's
sacrifice from Strange. It's good. I really like it.
So then it's pretty much just the same movie, just unfolds the same way. Strange folds back time and repairs the damage created by the portal. But Mordo, he isn't sure about any of this. Like, he's happy that they've saved the world and the day and all that.
He doesn't
like messing with time.
I do like that about his character too.
Yeah.
I know they are clearly setting up a sequel in the film, but I like that they do kind of go... Usually when you do something risky, it's like, oh, we won, guys. It's like, yeah, but what cost?
Yep.
The bill always comes due.
That's his thing. He doesn't like tampering with natural law, and it's he always does. He says his piece about the bill always comes due, always. And he goes, I can't do this anymore, and he leaves. And Wong and Strange are kind of like, well, man, I thought we were friends, but whatever. So he's gone. They return to Carmitage and plan, like they start planning, like to rebuild the team and all the sorcerers there and get everything back on track. And, you know, and strange, it's like Strange accepting that, like, okay, this is my, I have these powers now and it's my job to protect the Earth.
Yeah.
And that is Doctor Strange.
Is it film end with him walking into the what's the house called in New York? Because he doesn't have a house.
The Sanctuary.
The Weet-Bix Sanitarium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he end up there at the end of the film?
Yeah, sure. Did he in the film? I can't remember exactly
how it ended.
That's the last shot of the film, isn't it? Because they build that thing at Carmitage and he goes back through the portal.
Well, here's another thing the film's unclear on is I kind of thought if you're going to tell the story and in that story the Ancient One dies, your movie ends with him as the Sorcerer Supreme,
yeah.
right?
He doesn't have to stay at that. At
I've kind of just Carmitage had him claim it.
Yeah,
yeah, no, I really like that.
I like that as well.
I'm the Sorcerer Supreme.
I think that,
which I think is something he would do.
That's not, he can't say you're the, you have to be appointed, surely, but I think it speaks to his arrogance that he's still kept.
Like, he's still an arrogant fuck.
For all his changes, he's still very arrogant.
Yeah,
he should be.
But he's got heart now and he's a bit more sympathetic, but he's still an arrogant douche canoe.
Yeah.
A reason too, when I planned to like injure Wong, it was kind of like, I kind of want Wong, like, sure, he recovers and stuff, but I want that injury to be a little bit severe because he ends up sort of being Doctor Strange's, in the comics he's his servant, but in this it would be like
sidekick
type thing.
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
There's more heart. There's more everything.
It's certainly more memorable.
It's more memorable.
That was, I mean, the film has a lot of flaws, but fix your villain plot.
And fix your villain plot.
And fix your heart.
Fix your heart plot. And that's literally all we need to do.
Yeah.
Kyle Chandler.
I don't agree with that.
I don't agree.
My heart wants to for Friday Night.
What about
Lights?
Matthew Good? No. You can do it a better American accent.
Yeah, Matthew Good. I can get behind Matthew Good.
Is Cumbie's accent really that bad, or is it just because you're like, oh, that's Sherlock?
It's probably because he's Sherlock, to be honest.
Yeah. But on that note, I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
I've also been Tom.
And if you have any questions or thoughts or theories about Doctor Strange, don't hesitate to get in touch with us at sanspantsradio@gmail.com or tweet us at sanspantsradio, or you can tweet me personally at Sidekick of Dowie.
I'm at Tom Edgoose.
I'm at Awkward Treed.
Bye.
Bye.
If you think this show is worth at least a dollar, why not donate to our Patreon account? Follow the links on our website, sanspantsradio.com.